The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Sillinger in his spot. To Werenski. Now back near side. Matejczuk throws to the net. Save made by Nedeljkovic. Here's Werenski holding it. He's forced to the outside by Ryan Reeves, and that stopped the scoring chance, and it's out of the zone. It could be a breakaway. It is. Ostapchuk in. Score! Zach Ostapchuk, after Ryan Reeves made that great defensive play in the Shark zone, jumped up to the play, went in alone, and beat goaltender Jet Reeves to make it 3-1 Sharks. What a goal by Ostapchuk!
I mean, he's the fastest man in the world. I don't know. He's a damn racehorse. I don't know what's going on. He blew by everybody, but it's a lot of fun playing with him. He brings a lot of speed, a lot of physicality. He's silky mitts on that breakaway. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun playing with him.
All right. Good morning, everyone. We are waking up winners on Wednesday, January 7th, and the San Jose Sharks continue to fight for that Western wild card spot. They are tied in points with tonight's opponent, the LA Kings. This is a big, big game. 45 points on the year. The Sharks currently have played one game more than LA, so they are at a lower mark in the standings. But the Sharks, 21-18-3, 45 points, 536 points percentage. They have a 12-8-3 home record. They have a 9-10 road record. So the Sharks, if they can get that win tonight, they would pull even on the year on the road, which would be a huge mark for them. They are 6-4 in their last 10, and they bounced back with a much better performance against Columbus than what they had against Tampa on Saturday. Now, is Columbus at the same level as Tampa? No, I don't think that is the accurate assessment, but that's one thing the Sharks need to consistently do. When teams are close to their overall record or close to their overall ability and they're playing them at home, the Sharks need to win those games. And that's exactly what they did last night. They took care of business. It was close. The Sharks pulled away late with some very nice goals. Zach Ostapchuk with a huge goal. Mario Ferraro and Macklin Celebrini with some empty netters. But just a great performance from the team across the board. And one of the guys who probably deserves a little bit more credit in this game than we're going to hear about is probably Alex Nedeljkovic, because he just goes about his business in a very, very workman's-like fashion. He didn't really have the flashy saves per se, and he's had to do a lot of mop-up work lately after the team has had some poor performances in front of Yaroslav Askarov. But Alex Nedeljkovic had a great game. The unfortunate aspect of this game is that Ty Dellandrea went down injured. We did not have much of an update about him, but whenever you see a guy needing assistance getting off the ice, it's not a good sign. Ty Dellandrea has had such a good step in the right direction this year and really brought his game up to a new level, I think, and been a big part of what the Sharks have doing in terms of establishing their identity on the third and fourth line. So hopefully he'll be able to recover quickly. We don't know the extent of the injury, but the Sharks essentially go into that game, have kind of a slow start, and then get rolling and really perform at a very high level and just got better and better as they got deeper and deeper into the game. And it was not one of these games where Macklin Celebrini was the driving force, was the guy who was having, one of those games. And so you saw, again, Pavel Regenda, who remains red hot in the NHL, 6 goals in 5 games with the Sharks this year. I mean, that is just an absurd pace that he's on. And the way that he gets net front, the way that he finishes up close, I mean, that is something that is going to be huge for the Sharks as they get deeper and deeper into the season. Because one of the things that I put that with is that a lot of the types of goals that he was scoring or is scoring right now, that's what we saw previously from Tyler Toffoli. Toffoli has not been as hot this year as he was a year ago, and you need a little bit more of that net front presence, and that's what Pavel Regenda has been able to bring. So if he's scoring like that, you absolutely love it. Alex Wennberg had a phenomenal goal. Just that patience that he had, switching to the backhand, being able to be in the right place at the right time. You love to see it. Wennberg, obviously, a three-point night. Just feeling good after what's been a great week from him. You know, he's got 3 points last night. He has the announcement of his contract extension the other day. And then, of course, he has the announcement of being on Team Sweden at the Olympics. That's a good week for that man. So very, very excited for him. You know, Zach Ostapchuk, like I said, with that breakaway. So many times this year, Ostapchuk has been one of the best forwards on the ice for San Jose. And head coach Ryan Warsawski has been very, very consistent in praising his game, even if it's not always showing up on the box score. But he had a great goal last night that started with Ryan Reeves making a phenomenal play. And then Zach Ostapchuk, who'd been, you know, sitting on the outside looking in terms of his points, you know, this year, he had his first point, you know, in the month of December, had his first goal recently, you know, gets a goal last night. And that just goes a huge way in, you know, allowing him to help the Sharks have a win. And I'm sure it's satisfying for him, because I remember when I asked him when he had his first assist of the year and his first with the Sharks, I said, were you aware that you didn't have one? He said, oh, yes, I was aware. And he also joked about his goal that it took him long enough when he scored his first one of the year. So you love to see these other guys get rewarded. Ryan Reeves obviously had a great game, and, you know, I really give him a lot of respect. And the fight that he had, you know, at center ice, it was scary when he got knocked down, and, you know, he had a lot of trouble getting off the ice, and the spotter, I'm sure, you know, had him go through the test, and he alluded to going through the test afterwards. I think what happened was is he got hit right underneath the ear, and that messed up his equilibrium. I know everybody was probably looking at that thinking he got his bell rung, but no, I think that if you get hit right under, you know, your ear in that lower jaw area, that can screw with your overall ability to stay balanced more so than maybe what everyone was thinking, concussion, concussion, concussion. So he did pass those tests and get back out there. So that was good to see. But in the moment, it was like, oh, no, not another injury, not a, you know, whatever that may have been in the moment, especially after Ty Dellandrea had already gone down. So, you know, watching those things happen in real time, always a little bit scary, but good to see him get back out there. Such a tough dude. And, you know, his post-game commentary, that was him bringing us in, saying that Zach Ostapchuk was the fastest man in the world, which just was a funny thing for him to say, but he's got good comedic timing, and he was having a fun time talking after another win. And, you know, his confidence throughout the entirety of this process with the Sharks, whether we go back to, you know, what he was able to do, you know, at the start of training camp, just by talking guys up, acting confident, saying the Sharks team was going to make the playoffs, I'm sure there were a lot of people around the league who were saying, you know, what is Ryan Reeves talking about? And probably thinking, okay, you know, we know you're a glue guy, but tone it down. Well, the Sharks are now one game past the official halfway point of the season, 42 games played, and they continue to occupy a wild card spot. And with 45 points, they're only 3 points back of the division lead in the Pacific, which is occupied by Vegas. And then Edmonton is tied in points with them, with 48 as well, but they're in second based on the tiebreakers. And then Seattle is in third with 47 points. So it's tightly, tightly bunched. Like I said, you go back to, you know, Vancouver with 37 points. They're only 8 points back of that final wildcard spot in the West. Winnipeg with 35. They're only 10 points back. So obviously this is a very, very tightly bunched grouping in the Western Conference. Everybody is vying for these spots, but I think that's good. You know, you look at a team like San Jose, who's trying to fight for a wild card spot, and they're not going to be able to take their foot off the gas because the schedule is going to remain so difficult, A, and because it is so tightly bunched. It doesn't feel like teams are going to drop off, or at least if they are going to drop off, it's not going to happen for a while. But, you know, for these San Jose Sharks, this is a very, very critical stretch of their schedule because, again, tonight they're going at it against LA, second night of a back-to-back. And that's also, before I look forward to the schedule again, the way the Sharks have played in back-to-backs this year has really, really impressed me because a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, et cetera, these back-to-backs just felt so daunting because they knew they were performing at a talent deficit. They knew that they were, you know, going up against good teams who were in different points of their timeline, where San Jose was entrenched in a rebuild. But now it seems like they're embracing the challenge. Now it seems like they're stepping up and ready for these opportunities. And I, for one, am not going to be surprised in the slightest if the Sharks have a great performance tonight in LA against the Kings. I think they're the type of team who is now able to step up and embrace these challenges and be able to rise to the moment. But a back-to-back that finishes up in LA tonight, they're off Thursday and Friday in terms of games. They'll have practices, I'm sure. Then Saturday, they host Dallas. Sunday, they host Vegas. So that's two of the best teams in the West. That's not going to be easy. Then they get a few days off. Then they're going to be at Washington, at Detroit. That's another back-to-back. Then they get both Saturday and Sunday off, which is crazy talk. Then they're going to be at Florida, and they're going to be at Tampa. So those are back-to-back games. And then they've got the game against New York back home. So that's one. And then they're going to be back out on the road once again. On the 27th, they are going to be at Vancouver. On the 29th, they're going to be at Edmonton. On the 31st, they're going to be at Calgary. And then we go to the month of February. Then they are going to be at Chicago and then at Colorado. So, yeah, it's a difficult bit of scheduling. But the goal for the Sharks, of what it continues to be, at least in my point of view, is to just stay in the hunt as long as possible. And I know that I've probably sounded like a broken record, but the longer the San Jose Sharks are in the playoff conversation, the longer the Sharks are in the playoff conversation. It is literally that self-explanatory, because if they stay in that conversation, it gives them more to fight for. It gives them more to play for. It breeds more team chemistry. It makes every game feel more important. And I believe it was Greg Wyshynski yesterday who was talking about the NHL awards at the midway point of the season. And there's a large belief among the pundits and media out there that if Macklin Celebrini can get this Sharks team into the playoffs, then he should be, you know, a prime candidate and maybe even win the MVP this year. You know, the other night, you know, the San Jose Sharks had a win. Macklin Celebrini was great at home, and you had the crowd chanting MVP. Moments like that are so rare and impressive and not what we've seen, you know, in recent memory with the San Jose Sharks. And it reminds you of what we used to see with Steph Curry. And Steph Curry would go and talk to the fans, and you would hear him go to the free throw line, or he would make a three-pointer, and you'd hear the MVP chants. And that's what we're starting to see with Macklin Celebrini. And Macklin Celebrini almost saw his point streak come to a close last night, and then he bangs a empty netter to help his team get the win, A, and B, extend that point streak. I mean, he's getting it done in one way or another. And last night, I love to see it, because not that I don't love those games where Macklin Celebrini is the driving force. You know, he just didn't have that spark or that burst last night that was going to give him, you know, the early points and allow him to really build momentum. But you saw Alex Wennberg step up. Pavel Regenda stayed hot. You know, Zach Ostapchuk comes up with a goal. You see Mario Ferraro get a goal. You see Alex Nedeljkovic have a great game. You see Ryan Reeves have a great game. You see the team respond viscerally and emotionally to the injury to Ty DeLandria, which I'm not saying is a good thing, but, you know, the team had a positive reaction to that and felt like they needed to step up in light of the injury, because he's played so well this year. It can't always be Macklin Celebrini, right? He can't just be the one guy, and he still ends up with a point in this one and a big goal that really helps shut the door on Columbus if they thought they were going to have any hope of getting back into this game. I mean, Mario Ferraro's empty netter was the first one, but still, you know, things happen. You know, I believe there was a game either last year or 2 years ago where the Sharks scored an empty netter and then ended up losing, and that was one of the, you know, rare times in recent memory in the NHL where that had happened. So crazy things do happen. I'm not saying that that was really on the table last night, but crazy things happen. We've seen it with the San Jose Sharks, and, you know, a second empty netter is never less valuable than a first empty netter. You take care of business, you snuff out the light of the opposition, and you do whatever it takes to get the win. Macklin Celebrini, even if it was in the waning moments of the game, still walks away with a goal, keeps that point streak alive, and San Jose, you know, continues to perform at a very high level. And one of the things that I'm sure some people would like to see these win streaks, you know, go into a little bit more consistency, and they did have the recent three-game win streak, but make the losing streak stop. You know, they've had just one three-game losing streak since the start of the year when they were 0-4-2, and that was very recently. And they bounced back with, you know, multiple wins. And then they had a tough game on Saturday. They bounced back with a win. They're not letting these losing streaks get into extended, protracted periods. That's a huge step up from a year ago. And then just the fact that we are entering game 43 and the Sharks are in the playoff conversation, again, that's another huge step forward as a franchise. Cannot be overstated how important that is. And it's just fun right now. I get everything with the San Jose Sharks, except for the injury to Ty DeLandria, is a lot of fun right now, and you are hoping that you're going to see Will Smith back sooner than later. I saw him after the game last night. He didn't look like he was, you know, injured. I know that he's still on the recovery from that upper body injury, but he didn't look like he was, you know, hampered by anything. He just looked like a normal dude in street clothes after the games. So hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later. And then, you know, hopefully that Michael Misa, he's not going on the trip. I think that's one thing that Brian Worsowski pointed out last night, but, you know, he's going to be back into this lineup. you know, whatever happened to Ty Dellandrea, that might impact what sort of time we see from Michael Mesa from now to the throughout the rest of the year. But, you know, the Sharks, they've got options. It seems like guys are, you know, always throwing them new injuries, which is the constant of the NHL, but they've also got guys that are getting close, it seems. I saw Vinny Desharnais after the game last night. You know, he looked like he was getting close, so we'll see where that goes. And this is also the dads and mentors trip. So, you know, it was cool to have those guys hanging around the dressing room last night. I know that a lot of them talked about how much it meant to them. Alex Nedeljkovic in particular was talking about that in his postgame presser. And, you know, the Sharks right now are able to generate those positive vibes and make it seem like Saturday's game against Tampa Bay never happened, make it seem like just a memory that gets blown away in the wind. No one's talking about that game anymore. Everyone's focused on the future. And again, it's big tonight. They're going up against a team in LA that they are tied with in the wild card standings right now. That they've had, you know, success against earlier this year. I believe they're 1-1 in their two games against LA. So this is a big one for San Jose as they head into the game. Well, let's get into some of these highlights last night as Dan Rusinowski had a lot of fun action to call in this win against Columbus. It started out with Pavel Regenda giving the Sharks the lead. He continues to stay hot. That was his sixth goal of the year, assisted by Alexander Wenberg and Tyler Toffoli. We are late in the first period, and San Jose is up 1-0.
Final minute of play, period number one. Fed down the ice. Lead pass 2-on-1. Here comes Regenda, moves in, shoots, score! Wenberg gets the puck, starts the 2-on-1, feeds it off to the right, and Pavel Regenda is on fire! Had a hat trick last game, and now he gets another one, beating Jet Greaves with a great wrist shot. It's 1-0 Sharks with 48.4 seconds left in the first.
So the Sharks get a late first period goal that gives them the lead. Again, Pavel Regenda staying red, red hot. And then we go into the second period. San Jose on the power play, and the week of high times for Alexander Wenberg continues. He gets his eighth goal of the year, giving the Sharks a 2-0 lead on the power play, assisted by William Eklund and Dmitry Orlov.
Sharks setting up on the man advantage here. Wenberg exchanging, holding it, moving to the backhand, score! Alex Wenberg just delaying for just a second. While the Sharks drove in to create chaos in front of the goal, Wenberg calmly moved to the backhand. He took it, and the former Columbus Blue Jacket first-round pick has 2 points. This one is a big goal on the power play at 4:14 of the second, making the score the Sharks 2 and the Blue Jackets nothing.
So the good times were rolling for San Jose. They are up 2-0, but the Blue Jackets would bounce back as they get a late second period goal. It had really felt all San Jose. They were on the power play. They couldn't take advantage of the 5-on-3, but it really felt like they were rolling. And then suddenly Zach Werenski scores 45 seconds left in that second period and makes it suddenly a one goal game, even though it felt like San Jose was dominating. That put a little bit of doubt in everyone's mind. Especially just considering, again, how much it felt like San Jose was the better team in that second period, but suddenly it's a 2-1 game. We go to the third period. Zach Ostapchuk with an absolutely phenomenal goal after a great defensive play from Ryan Reeves built San Jose's lead back to 2 goals.
There's Sillinger in his spot to Werenski. Now back near side, Matejczuk throws to the net, save made by Nedeljkovic. Uh-oh, here's Werenski holding it. He's forced to the outside by Ryan Reeves, and that stopped the scoring chance, and it's out of the zone. It could be a breakaway. It is. Ostapchuk in. Score! Zach Ostapchuk, after Ryan Reeves made that great defensive play in the Shark zone, jumped up to the play, went in alone, and beat goaltender Jet Greaves to make it 3-1 Sharks. What a goal by Ostapchuk!
So the Sharks are back up by 2, but Columbus, you got to give them a lot of credit. They were not going away quietly. It was Sean Monahan and made it 3-2 with 16:05 left in the third period. And I'm thinking to myself, uh-oh, when they pull their goalie, this is going to get interesting. But Mario Ferraro, as soon as they pull their goalie at 17:46, from way deep, buries the empty netter. That's his third goal of the year, and the Sharks reestablish their 2-goal lead. It's 4-2 San Jose.
Face off, though. Wenberg wins it. Ferraro to the empty net. Score! So the Sharks win the draw, and Mario Ferraro sends the puck the length of the ice into the empty goal, and the San Jose Sharks take the 4-2 lead. And how about Mario Ferraro for the San Jose Sharks? Coming up big with goal number 20 in his NHL career in his 450th National Hockey League game.
You love to see Mario Ferraro get rewarded just because, you know, he's one of those guys whose game does not always show up in the box score, and he gets that empty netter, gives the Sharks back their two-goal lead. Momentum clearly swung back in favor of San Jose. You knew Columbus wasn't going to go down quietly. However, Macklin Celebrini put the game on ice.
Dump back in. Net is empty to our right. Down to a minute 35 remaining in the game. Empty net for Graf. Throws it ahead to Celebrini. He's got it. He stick handles. He scores! Second empty netter for the Sharks. They're up 5-2. Macklin Celebrini now has his 23rd goal of the season. And guess what, folks? He now has an 11-game point scoring streak.
An 11-game point scoring streak for Macklin Celebrini. And if we go back to the start of this, which was at Toronto, he had 1 point, then 3 points, then 4 points, then 2 points, then 1 point, then 1 point, then 2 points, then 3 points, then 2 points, then 1 point, then 1 point. So yeah, Macklin Celebrini, my goodness, he is on quite a tear. Even though last night was relatively quiet from him, he still gets his, and the San Jose Sharks walk away with a 5-2 win. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Warsawski after the game. Coach,
how big is it to sort of bounce back here second time after a tough night?
Yeah, you got to move on, right? I mean, I know we talk about bouncing back, but we got to move on and continue to get better. And I thought our game tonight, we got better as the game went on.
Is that a big contrast you see from last season where, you know, a bad game turned into two or three, where here you can bounce right back?
Yeah, I think a little bit of that. I think also last year we go into a lead with a 2-1 lead into the third, and we probably get more on our heels, and I thought we went up more on the attack. So that was a, you know, something that was probably more something to observe than the way we wanted to play in the third was more evident.
Coach, what would you say you were most happy with the win tonight, just the way you guys played?
Yeah, I think the way we got better as the game went on, I liked our third period. I thought we did the right things with the puck for the most part. I thought that fourth line would really set the tone in the third period of how we want to play with an identity towards it. And they really hemmed them there in their zone for, you know, a couple of shifts, and that gave us some momentum.
So, Coach, first win in 26, also in the tank. So how gratifying is that?
Yeah, it's always nice to win at home, and you can see you can feel the energy is really coming back in this building. And it was, you know, for a Tuesday night tonight, and there was energy. It was loud at the end of the game with the empty netters, and you can feel it coming back.
Overall game.
Yeah, he's been playing some good hockey. Happy for him to get rewarded with a goal tonight. I think he's been really playing some really good hockey and you know, really solidifying his role, you know, on this team and as a player. And he's a heavy, big forward that can skate, and we showed his skating there. So happy for him to get on a goal. I think that's very rewarding for a young player to get on the score sheet.
You know, after a slow start, how big was that first power play? Seemed like that really changed the whole momentum.
Yeah, you know, I liked our power play tonight. I thought we did some good things. I thought it was a step in the right direction. It's a big goal. You'd like to score in the 5-on-3, we worked on it again this morning, but something that we got to continue to work on and clean up, because those are critical moments. But I thought our power play as a whole was better.
What can you say about just the identity of the defense? Just seemed steady tonight, right? They let in a little more shots. Revo mentioned it, but just didn't seem too high danger. They really controlled the crease.
Yeah, you know, go look back at it, but I thought our D again got better as went on. We moved pucks, we skated pucks a little bit better. You know, that Mario was good. I thought Dickey was really good again tonight. So hopefully we keep developing these guys and continue to push forward. But that was a good night for some of those guys back there.
Any update on Dellandrea?
No, not yet.
So, Coach, how impactful was Reeves with the gloves on and gloves off?
Yeah, he's been impactful all year, man. I mean, he is a joy to coach. He is so important for our team. What he does to stick up for his teammates, change momentum, and you know, I think he's playing really good hockey. You know, I think he's his line in general, but he sets a tone for our group. He brings us energy. We love the guy. We can't say enough good things about him.
How tough would it be to lose Ty here for? Yeah.
Yeah, it would be tough, you know, especially being a right shot and a center, and he's played really good hockey this year. He was having a good game tonight as well, so we'll get an update and go from there.
Does Misa go with you guys to L.A., and is he a possibility for tomorrow maybe?
No, he won't play tomorrow.
Considering what happened on Saturday, was this the qualify as a character win for you guys?
Yeah, you could say that for sure. You know, especially kind of what transpired through the second period. And I like the way we played in the third. So you could say that.
How was it important to win a game like tonight until Macklin scores an empty net or he hadn't notched on the board yet? It's important to win a game like that where it didn't feel like he was carrying you guys.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it, secondary scoring and getting guys to chip in different, different times and different lines and what have you. So, it's important to have four lines going in a hockey game, and that makes you more dangerous. So we've got to keep pushing that.
I mean, it sounds relatively obvious to have four lines going in a game and the ability to help you win, but that's something that previously the Sharks did not have. And I think that's one of the great bright spots of this year is not just discovering how much talent you have overall, but that you have depth at, different positions, that you have guys who can step up, who can move to center or can play the wing, can play on the third line, can play on the fourth line, can play on the second line. I mean, you look at Ty Dellandrea, and again, that's why his injury has been so impactful, because he's been everywhere out there on the ice. And then you see the importance of a Colin Graf, who's been literally a Swiss Army knife out there for San Jose this year, or Ryan Reeves or Zach Ostapchuk. And, there's so much talk about the young star power on this team with Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and Igor Chernyshov that it can, I won't say be easy, but it can get a little bit, the groove is greased for you to talk about those guys as opposed to the hardworking, not as celebrated players on this team. But, Will Smith, Filip Kurashev go down. The Sharks have guys step up. Adam Gaudette goes down. The Sharks have guys step up. Ty Dellandrea goes down last night. The team rallied around that, and you could tell how much, the guys were, upset that he got hurt and wanted to play hard for him. I think that's something that has to be looked at with this team, and the fact that they all play for each other, that they all want to win for each other. It's not just individuals. It has that team feel. And I think that's something that, probably has not been focused enough about this year, because we've been so enamored with the individual performances of certain players, specifically Macklin Celebrini. But this is a team. This is not, just one guy getting it done. Everybody's stepping up for each other. Everybody's having those moments where they need something to happen. And, a guy makes the big play. It doesn't matter if you're on the fourth line or the first line. Guys are stepping up and making it happen. And a big guy who stepped up last night for San Jose was Alex Nedeljkovic, who had a phenomenal game. 34 saves, gave up two goals, neither of which I'm putting the blame on him. He came up with the big stops time and time again, gets that opportunity to get the win, and the Sharks walk away with the 2 points.
Feel about your game today?
Felt good. That they got a couple touches in early. They were throwing pucks on net, and I feel like anytime you can have a night like that, it just to get you into it a little bit more and kind of almost ease you into it, it's great. So I felt good all night, felt on pucks and on top of things. And they had, they made two nice plays, a nice shot there at the end of the second, and then good net front, good stick there, and they buried it. So, but we stuck with it. We responded both times, and, it was a fun game.
Last couple appearances, games for you, just you got to come in, halfway through the game kind of thing. How does it make it easier for you when you're going to start, you got some time to prepare and go through your normal routine, I guess?
Yeah, I think the hardest part going in like that is not getting ahead of yourself and just understanding obviously, we've been behind in some games. The only thing I can do in that moment is keep it where it's at, keep the lead at what it is. And felt like a couple times that, I've tried to come in and maybe almost try to get us going myself and try to, I feel like I'm going to do something that's going to result in us getting a goal. And it's just it's not going to happen. So obviously, but the mindset, obviously, coming in, when it's your net, from start to finish there, it's a little easier. You just get up and play and, focus on that first one and then get the next one. And probably just, hopefully you don't have to be in that situation again. But if we are, just try to keep that same mindset.
You guys play a ton of back-to-backs here coming up. Nice for you to sort of get this one and build on it.
Yeah, I think for all of us, it's always fun to win the first one, and it's obviously great to win the first one. You can't sweep the series, unless you take the first one. So, it was big 2 points for us. Obviously, going into you know, a rival building and a team that we're chasing, or we're right there with points right now, and we're going to be neck and neck with them the rest of the year. So it's two more big points for us tomorrow. And then obviously the start of the dad's trip tonight too. It's always special having them and the mentor, our mentors around, and you know, hopefully we can get the job done for them again tomorrow.
All right, we're out of time, but we are back at it this afternoon with the build-up, morning skate, and Teal Report. And then it's a 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 go time in L.A. tonight. The Sharks taking on the Kings. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.